Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Marjorie Taylor Greene. We have a long conversation about a lot of different things. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, this conversation happened on the heels of America Fest. It's tpusa.com. High school or college chapter, get one started today. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support to get behind the work we are doing. Highly encourage you to do that. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Did you know that if you shop at Nike, they turn around and give your hard-earned dollars to pro-abortion groups like Planned Parenthood and the Population Council? Did you know that Airbnb gave $500,000 to the Marxist Black Lives Matter organization? Your first vote is at the ballot box, but that isn't enough to defend our traditional Judeo-Christian values. Left-wing corporations are subverting our democracy by taking money from conservative customers and giving it to radical organizations that support abortion, gun control, and critical race theory. You have another vote, a second vote, at the checkout line, and that is where massively important organizations called Second Vote come in. The courageous people at Second Vote are exposing corporations for how they spend your money. Check out secondvote.com today. Second Vote is developing incredible tools and engaging the smartest minds in the country to help inform Americans' purchasing decisions. What if I told you Chick-fil-A is not all that you might think it is? Well, their work is arduous, complex, and exhaustive. It doesn't happen for free. Please support their work so we can defend our future from the woke Marxist mob. So here's what I want you to do. Go right now to secondvote.com and subscribe. It's just $50 a year. But if you use promo code Charlie, you get 50% off. It's literally $2 a month, everybody. And you get 50% off the information you need to have before you make your next purchase. Do not buy products from people that hate you. Don't buy products from people that are funding the downfall of America. Join me. Go to secondvote.com and subscribe with promo code Charlie today. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. With us today, is it Congresswoman or Congressman? I can never understand.
Look, genders are the most important thing we have to protect. Congresswoman.
I totally agree. But, like, there's this thing where you get introduced as congressman sometimes. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, that was like the whole weird feminist thing that sucked into the Republican movement. I'm trying to take it back to what's
normal.
Yeah,
I've never understood that. So Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, we're supposed to hate you, and I don't. I actually really like you. So why is that? Why does the media tell us that you're like an existential threat to our democracy or whatever that is?
Well, apparently that's what they want everyone to believe. I'm really proud of my Wikipedia page. I have to tell you, it is such a badge of honor. I will never change it. It says the most horrible, disgusting lies about me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm keeping it there just the way it is so that everyone can really understand what Wikipedia is all about.
So I endorsed you early, if I remember correctly.
You did.
And
thank you.
You got elected and you've decided to actually do what you said you were going to do. And, you know, someone asked me a question once. I was in Wisconsin and he says, Charlie, do you renounce your your endorsement of Marjorie Taylor Greene? I said, why would I do that? Like, oh, because of all these things that she said. I said, you know, this idea that you have to we have to pander to what they tell us what to do is because the media tells us to be angry about something is mm-hmm. just extraordinary. So you've been in Congress not even a year. Is that right? Hasn't even been a year. What has surprised you the most?
Everything.
Be more specific.
Okay. So here's the way I see Congress. I come from the private sector. Never involved in government.
In Georgia, yep.
Never went to a GOP meeting because I just didn't even know what they were. I was busy working, raising my family, just living the most incredible life. God, thank you. Okay, so I got mad and decided to run for Congress.
Why'd you get mad? Well,
because I knew what Democrats were doing. That was clear to see. But it was Republicans that got me really angry because they weren't doing their job. And so when you're a business owner, you're used to managing, you're used to holding people accountable, you know, and we do things like make a profit instead of a loss. And I was looking at the Republican Party and I'm like, you know, they really failed with Paul Ryan as the speaker. They did not pursue the agenda that we all voted for under President Trump in 2016. I'm going to run for Congress because I feel like we need to put, you know, regular people in there. Get there, and here's what I find out. This is what most people don't realize. They're the most incompetent, poorly, just horrible work ethic. They're lazy. They don't know how to achieve anything. They truly don't know how to solve problems because they're government people. I think that's what most people need to understand. You see, in order to succeed in business, you have to be able to solve problems. You have to be able to please your customer. It's very difficult. So that's actual work. But in the government, everything is assumed that the revenue comes in automatically because of the IRS and it's a law. You don't have to please your customer because your customer can't fire you. I mean, the American people can't fire the federal government, or yet they haven't tried. They claim they tried on January 6th, but they really didn't. But anyways, what I've found is everyone's incompetent. No one can produce anything that actually works. And it's a system that's set up for failure. So I look at the Capitol and all I see is a glass castle. It's completely empty. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's failing America.
So just kind of as a freshman, I mean, your expectations were probably low going in, right? I mean, but – and they've just – they were, it's worse than you even thought it was.
It's terrible. So there's committees. Committees are set up.
You're not on any committees though, right?
No,
I'm not. If I'm not mistaken, yeah. You got censured or whatever.
Yes,
some sort of
kicked
silly
off committees.
So you're not on any committees.
Right.
What was the last time that's happened?
I don't know. I think there's been a few people before me, but not stripped of all committees. Here's the thing about committees though. They're completely useless. So and actually the way the committees are set up, it's caused all the failure. So the committees are the place where they supposedly produce bills and create laws and create everything that we're living in. But look at what's come out of committees. We're nearly $30 trillion in debt. Our border is wide open. We've had forever and ever and ever wars. And then Biden failed in Afghanistan. We're still murdering babies, as many babies as possible. And they don't want to ever stop it because it's an industry. They want to take away our guns, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. They want to give, you know, amnesty to illegals. This is what comes out of committees. So committees are completely broken, and they're a lie. It's the place that where members of Congress feel important. It's a place where they get a title and they say, this is my job. This is what I do. It's the place where they get to have a few minutes, you know, some kind of speech or some kind of attack and some sort of hearing on a committee that comes off a C-SPAN and then it makes it on the news. Committees are failing America. That is what I learned. I learned it and I saw it, and I'm thrilled that I'm not a part of it, because thank God I don't have to claim any of the stuff they've produced.
Yeah. And I mean, the only good use of committees will be if Republicans get in the majority and we could subpoena some of this stuff and hopefully get to the bottom of it.
Right. But on committees, Republicans and Democrats serve together. So they're only useful if Republicans do what they say they're going to do.
No, that's exactly right. And Democrats are willing to use committees to try to destroy people's lives.
Yes.
Republicans, we'll see. We don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen anything good yet when they've had control.
Yeah.
I want to see something different. So far, I've been disappointed.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different things going on. You visited the jail.
I did.
With the January 6th prisoners.
Yes.
Said this very clearly to our audience. I didn't like what happened on January 6th. We didn't announce it when it happened. I just don't like not looting wouldn't be the right word. I don't like destruction of property, especially of our nation's capital.
I agree.
But we need to say that as a prerequisite, because the media, they love to cut everything up.
Well, I truly feel that way. I was in the Capitol when it happened. And
it was like your third day.
Yeah.
Literally. Because you got sworn in January 3rd.
Third.
Right?
That's right. No, I really thought it was terrifying. I didn't understand it. I didn't know who was doing it. They spent all day long. Everybody was trying to tell me that, no, those people have MAGA hats on. They're Trump supporters. I was like, no, that's not our people. We don't do that. That's Antifa. I honestly didn't believe it. It was very upsetting to me. And it stopped our objection that we had worked hard on.
A legal path.
A legal path.
Yeah.
And that's what I was interested in. So, yeah, it was a really bad day. But we've seen a lot of things come out.
The real estate market is extremely hot right now. People are taking advantage of low interest rates and economic uncertainty by investing in real assets. Whether you are a first-time buyer or just looking to make a change, the key is to get into the property you want is being pre-qualified and having cash in hand. That's why you guys, all of us, myself included, I had to stop doing this. I had to stop using the big banks. I used a big bank for a loan previously. It was a disaster. It took forever. Not to mention, I go look at their score on secondvote.com. Like, wow, my loan helped fund abortions, BLM Incorporated, burning down of Wendy's, the destruction of our society. I'm done with it. Then I met Andrew and Todd. Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, who have become great friends of mine, andrewandtodd.com. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. My producer, Andrew, he's working with them right now, and he tells me they are part counselors, part financial planners, and they're really helping them, and I'm about to use them for something. I've been so impressed by them. But they are bankers, not brokers. That means that they can help you start to finish. But quite honestly, let's divest and take all of our money out of these woke banks. So maybe you're buying a new home. Maybe you're refinancing. Whatever process you're going through, just fill out a couple simple questions online at andrewandtodd.com. They can assess your situation right over the phone. Go to andrewandtodd.com or call 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. Even if you have a friend who's buying a home, I'm sure every single person knows someone that's buying a home. Just put your arm around them and say, hey, go to andrewandtodd.com. Charlie Kirk speaks favorably of them. Here's what I can guarantee you with andrewandtodd.com. Zero of the proceeds will go to fund abortion. Zero will go to fund BLM. Zero will go to fund the woke industrial complex instead. Andrew and Todd, they support shows like ours. They want to help patriots, Christians, and people that love their country and love the Lord take out loans and do it correctly. So go to andrewandtodd.com, call 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. andrewandtodd.com. Support the good guys and stop supporting companies and banks that hate you. The banks have waged war on our values. Time to say sayonara, vaya con Dios. Alvita Sane, I'll be going to andrewandtodd.com.
And then you've been one of the few people that have actually tried to find out what's happened to some of these people, right?
Yeah.
So walk us through that. Who's in this DC jail? What are the conditions? What are they charged with? Just walk us through that in great detail, because it's a real kind of – it's not a covered story, not anywhere close to what it should be.
No, not anywhere, and it deserves so much. So they've committed crimes. They've some of them just have misdemeanors from just walking around on Capitol grounds.
Okay, so some are as low as misdemeanors.
Yes.
So explain to me, though, why some people are being released on bond and these aren't. I mean, is it – I don't understand, like, because some
– Right. So, Charlie, you're asking the common sense questions and the questions we should be able to ask in America. But we have to talk about this understanding that we've been too nice calling Democrats socialist. We've been too nice calling them authoritarians. This is communism, real communism. These are people that are in control and they're abusing their power. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the ones in Congress and in the White House. It's also in the FBI, the Department of Justice, and it's all across. They are persecuting their political enemies. And it is purposeful to tell the rest of the American people, this is what's going to happen to you.
So talk about what's actually happening in the jail. So they committed crimes.
They
again,
did. They're
don't
charged.
Support it.
Well, the FBI, we saw them raid their homes. They went and found people, arrested them.
Did they bring them back to D.C.?
Yes. There's approximately 40 to 50 in the D.C. jail right now.
So these people didn't get to serve. They didn't hear out their cases.
They haven't been to court. They're pre-trial. Pre-trial January 6th defendants. Not only are they in D.C., they're also across the country in other jails. Yesterday, I had to call in. There's a man in a jail there in Georgia that was having medical issues, and they were refusing to give him medical treatment. And so his fiance was desperately trying to get someone to check on him and get help because no one's allowed to go visit him. He's pre-trial. But in the D.C. jail, here was the issue. While everything was ramping up and everyone's being framed as insurrectionists, and then Nancy Pelosi is building her case for the January 6th committee. As the months went by, January, February, March, and April, we were hearing things about these people that had been arrested. We were hearing that they've been beaten, and we were hearing they're being held in solitary confinement. And I was like, is this really true? How do we find out if this is true? So along with a couple of my colleagues, and I only say a couple because most of my conference, my Republican conference, refuses to have anything to do with this. But it was me, Paul Gosar, Louis Gohmert, and Matt Gaetz. We went to the D.C. jail, and as members of Congress, we tour facilities all the time. ICE detention centers, jails and other places, all kinds of federally funded buildings and programs. We tour them. That's what we do because we fund them. And the District of Columbia, people need to remember, Congress has oversight over the District of Columbia because it's not a state. They want to be a state, but they're not a state at this time. And hopefully they never will be. But so we go to the jail and we're like, hi, we're members of Congress. Here's our ID. We would like a tour of the jail. We were met instantly with a woman named Deputy Warden Kathleen Landerkin. She's the person in charge at the jail. And she told us that we were trespassing. Trespassers. You're not allowed to. We said, no, you don't understand. We're members of Congress. We're here for oversight and to tour the jail. We want to see the whole facility. Denied us entrance. Kept going back. Denied us entrance. Every time. So we couldn't go in. So finally, we've written letters. We had been calling attention to it, doing everything we could. Finally, I got a phone call, and it's just been barely a month now. And they said, it was like 6:15. I was on the House floor. You can come and tour the jail at 6:30. 15 minutes notice. And they were just so happened to let the city council in Washington, D.C. was getting a tour. And so they probably figured, hey, we'll throw her in and get this done. So we rushed down there as fast as we could. Louis Gohmert from Texas went with me. So it was he and I and a couple members from our staff. We go in and tour the jail, and we saw the entire prison, saw everywhere, all the different programs. We saw education programs, continuing education, job training. We saw moot court where they were practicing their trials with a third-year law student from Georgetown. We saw all, you know, places where they get their haircut, chapel, a nation or Islam temple in there. It was really interesting. Most of the signs up on the wall was telling felons they could vote. Now you can vote in the District of Columbia. Felons can vote. Those signs were everywhere. Saw some reading material, but the most common reading material in the jail was the Nation of Islam newspaper. That was the most common. It was everywhere. The books that they had were very CRT focused about race and about, especially about the prison system.
Incarceration.
Yes, they're all there because they're black, yeah. All of that stuff. So that was a lot of the type of information. And then our tour was coming to a close. And we said, no, we're here to see where the January 6th defendants are, too. Thank you for showing us the whole jail. We'd like to see there. And they said, no, ma'am, that's not part of your tour. And so I will save you a lot of time, but we had quite a heated conversation because I wasn't leaving. And I told them very point blank, I said, listen to me right now. If you do not take us in there and show us where these January 6th defendants are, I'm going to go on every single news station I can find. I said, I'll go on CNN. I don't care. I'll go on every single one. I will be in front of the press every single day. And I'll tell them everything I saw here and that you are hiding something with these people. So that was the chief of staff for the mayor's office that I told that to. And I told Deputy Warden Kathleen Landerkin that. And so they made a phone call. He stepped out of the way. Well, let me tell you what happened. He steps back and he's like, I make a phone call. And he walks through this doorway. And as he goes through the doorway, somebody presses a button and a prison door with actual bars rolls shut. And he's over there making the phone call. And we're all standing on this side. And we go, I mean, we're all looking at each other. We're like, that wasn't accidental, you know, and we said it out loud, like, oh, you didn't do that on purpose. No, I'm sure like what, you know, of course, what's over there? Is that where they are? So we're really angry. And he comes back in view on the other side of the door. And he said the director gave him permission. Then magically, oh, the prison door rolls back open. And then guess where we go to see the January 6th defendants? We go that way where they were locking us out. You couldn't even make this up. We had no idea that's where those people were being held. They were so worried about what's back there that they literally shut a prison door to keep us from going back there. And we didn't know where they were back there.
What did you see?
Well, they took us back. And when we went inside, we went in through these double doors and walked into sort of a big center room that was like a common area with picnic tables, some picnic tables. And there was nothing on the walls. It was different than other areas we'd seen. There were no televisions, no signs telling them that felons could vote. But they're pre-trial anyways. They haven't even been to court. These people.
This is a detention center.
They're being detained pre-trial. So we go in there and I'll never forget it in my entire life, Charlie. These men just came. They were, some of them were there and they came out from like where their cells were and stuff. And they just started clapping and cheering and were overwhelmed with so much emotion. And they were crying and just even their body language was like just bent over. And they were overwhelmed at the sight of us. And they instantly knew who I was. They knew who Louis Gohmert was. And they were thanking us, hugging our staff, hugging all, thanking us, shaking our hands because no one's come for them. No one's come to see them. And in their eyes, you could see that they felt forgotten and that they really are being treated like political prisoners of war.
And there's like 40 or 50 of them.
Yes. And they look horrible. They've been held in there, you know, some of them since January. They haven't been outside. So they just don't look healthy. The food there is horrible. They're not allowed to shave or get haircuts, so their beards are long and scraggly. Their hair looks terrible. They just are not kept. They're not healthy because they're being detained in a place where they're not. They're not being.
And they're not even allowed to post bail. Some of these people.
No, they're not allowed to post bail. And this is what's really interesting. So, definitely, some of them they've done. It's not about their cases and what they've done. They've been charged. They're going to go to court. That's a process that needs to work out. Some of them attacked police officers. Some of them broke in the Capitol. Some of them damaged things. So it took the riot shields away. Some of them, you know, they definitely, I'm not saying they didn't do things. They did do things not any different than Antifa or BLM rioters. Mm-hmm. But some of them in there didn't do any of that stuff. They just walked around in the Capitol.
But yeah, and so why do they choose them?
I don't know. I think it's because they have public defenders. They can't afford our attorneys that will do the good job of representing them.
Or just haggle the state to get them out, or
have a relationship with someone that did do something bad. So they claim that they're flight risk. They claim that they're a danger to society. But a lot of them can't afford attorneys. And so they have these public defenders in Washington, D.C. that hate them, that call them white supremacists, that tell them they have to denounce Trump, tell them they have to denounce their views. They're trying to re-educate them. They want them to watch videos. They want them to read books, and they want them to completely change and denounce everything they're doing. And they want them to say that President Trump told them to do it. That is ultimately what they want. And so they're being held there under mental abuse and physical abuse to break them down in order to get them to come out and say that, because how else can they take President Trump down? They can take him down if they have all these people that come out and say that he told them to do it.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll get it done. Thankfully, Dershowitz, who's on our show, and we disagree with him on plenty, but he was really instrumental in a similar court case like 30 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Where he came on our show and talked about this. It was in Chicago, wasn't it, Andrew? It was a Chicago something. Where it was a similar riot, where they blamed the speaker beforehand and went all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Really?
And it said that you can't – incitement standard is super, super hard. Like the incitement statute has to be explicit, immediate, and direct. And it wasn't for Trump, obviously.
No.
Right? And so thankfully Dershowitz has been really
that's
good on the
fantastic.
Civil liberty type stuff. So that's an interesting
That's a good reason
component.
For people to watch your show.
Yeah. No, I mean it was –
because I haven't heard that anywhere else.
We had Dershowitz on the show like early February last year, and we talked about it. Yeah, it was Chicago. Yeah, I remember.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And so they're going to try, obviously, but the law went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they said that the incitement standard is – it's protected speech, right?
Well, I think they're going to continue to push the line because that's
what
we're
seeing. Of course they will. And D.C., they do their own laws there. It's like – it's all a stacked jury.
It's totally different.
Thing. Yeah, exactly.
Totally different.
Than if you were in Tennessee or Georgia or Texas or whatever.
Yeah. So they're held there. Here's something that's going on. They're denied communion. They're denied chapel services.
Well, that's unconstitutional.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Someone needs to sue the city of New York. I'm saying the city of D.C.
Yes.
Please.
They're denied medical services. There's the case.
It's also illegal.
Yes, completely. So their treatment is terrible. And that's what's happening. I was just told this morning that they've gone back on lockdown and they're in solitary confinement now. And it's the abuse and everything is coming back. And they feel like it's been because of the D.C. jail report that I put out. It's on my website, congressional website, green.house.gov. Green has an E on the end. Congressman Louie Gohmert and I worked on it together, and our staff, they did an amazing job working on it. And so that's on my website. If anyone wants to read it, I hope everyone reads it. We've distributed as far as we can to understand what's happening. But they really feel like it's getting worse. And now that Darren Beatty's report came out on Revolver.
It's an unbelievable report. Mm-hmm. We got to get Darren on the show, by the way.
Yes.
And the most important question is, okay, you want to get to the bottom of January 6th. How about Ray Epps?
Where's Ray Epps? So the January 6th committee in Congress is made up of you've got Jamie Raskins. You've got Adam Schiff, which he's running the same playbook as
Kinzinger,
he did.
Thompson, Cheney.
It's not a true committee because the minority party, the Republicans, did not get to pick who they wanted to be on there. We were supposed to have five Republicans on there. We didn't. So this committee is operating under its own control and doing whatever they want. They don't care about Ray Epps. He hasn't been subpoenaed, but yet they've subpoenaed.
Nor arrested, which is really strange.
Very strange, especially when the FBI had him originally as number 16 on their own Twitter page.
You know why?
Why?
Right hand, left hand. Meaning that somebody didn't know who Ray Epps was.
Sure. It was oops.
Someone, because it was such a big operation, someone said, oh, of course he must be a bad guy.
Yeah.
And then someone said, no, no, no. That's my working theory.
Oh, I totally believe you. Because
right hand, left hand, big operation.
Well, if you're working undercover, everybody can't know who you are.
Look, stocks are at all-time high. People are saying things are going well, but you know they aren't. Interest rates are at zero, and the government just printed $5 trillion. What could possibly go wrong? Consumer confidence just hit a 10-year low, and inflation hit 6.8%, with parts of the United States seeing rates as high as 8%. Something is not adding up. Inflation is here, everybody, and you got to do something about it. Put some of your assets into precious metals, and it will keep your money away from the volatility markets and inflation and let you sleep at night. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free America the Beautiful solid silver 5-ounce coin with any qualifying plan you start. So talk to an expert today at Noble Gold, and they'll run through the options to keep your money safe. No pressure, no hassling, no call centers, just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. So go right now to NobleGoldInvestments.com or start by calling 877-646-5347, NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
So just so our audience knows, Ray Epps, again, this is all allegedly, but there's a video of him on the night of January 5th screaming, we're going to go into the Capitol tomorrow. We're going to go into the Capitol tomorrow. And the response from the crowd was, no, he's a Fed. He's a Fed. And then thanks to Darren Beatty's journalism, like legitimate journalism, an unbelievably factual article at Revolver.News.
Amazing.
No, there was like no politics in that article at all. It wasn't like, I like Trump, I hate Trump. It's like, here's the facts. Ray Epps was like alpha male posturing at the top of the stairs of the first part, basically almost conducting traffic.
At the Peace Gate.
Yes.
So in part two that he just came out just the other day, the path that they all took after the speech at the Ellipse from the White House, they came down this road, and the path that they would have taken, they had to go through the Peace Gate. It just is where you would have walked to go to the Capitol. And Ray Epps stood at the Peace Gate just telling everyone to go in the Capitol. And they had started taking
bizarrely down. Bizarrely specific.
Yeah. And they started he was there, and they had people there taking down the fences while Trump was still
and
speaking.
And then, if I remember correctly, then the Proud Boys came down the street.
After.
Almost simultaneously. Like you're right. After. But it,
after.
It was one after the other. It was,
yes.
It was like perfectly timed.
Yes. Perfectly timed. And then there was another man. And he was the guy that was up on the scaffolding.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, this is all in videos. That's what's incredible about it. Darren Beatty's done such
yeah,
– it's all
so
in videos.
I have a different opinion than some people. And some people say, you know, their way to try and push back against the January 6th committee is they say, oh, we should not care. Who cares? I'm actually super interested. I'm super interested in who planted the pipe bombs.
Me too.
Like,
and
I'm really
why
interested
anyone care about
in Ray
that?
Epps.
Me too.
I'm interested in federal informants that might have been involved.
Me too.
And everyone should be interested in
and
that.
And why wasn't the National Guard there even though it was requested?
Yeah, I don't know. So I got to ask you about that. I've heard contradicting theories on the National Guard, like Pelosi. Yeah, I've heard it on both sides, people I trust. What do you think is the truth of that? Do you think there was like a stand down order or –
Well, it appears to be that way. President Trump requested the National Guard. And I want to start with this. On January 4th, my second day on the job, there were other members of Congress there told me that there was intel there was going to be violence at the Capitol. And that was on January 4th. And I was like, oh, so Antifa and these BLM rioters are going to come. That's what I thought, because that's what we saw in 2020. But no, it was known. The intel was there that there was going to be some violence. And that's why President Trump said we need 10,000 National Guard, the sergeant at arms, and then ultimately Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker of the House, as the authority over the sergeant at arms. They turned down the request.
Yeah. So it's super confusing to me, because over the summer when this committee started, there were people testifying saying that there were threats that were ignored. And then there was the Northern Virginia FBI field office.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm a little confused, because did we just kind of forget about that whole part of this? they've just moved on, I guess, from that, right?
Apparently so. But I see it's really a tragedy because many of the Capitol Police were victims of all of this too. There's been 200, over 200 of them have quit this year. And so they were basically set up to fail. The Capitol Police were set up to fail. The people, the innocent people that went there were set up to fail. And it just by default, it turned into this thing that shouldn't have happened.
No, it shouldn't have happened. The whole thing was it was a bad day. And I said it on air live as it was happening. But what's interesting to me, and I want everyone to be held accountable. I want justice to play out in the human souls and yearning for justice. But I also want, if there were instigators mm-hmm. or people that were that know how to work a crowd and know how, that's a really important component of
completely.
This.
Completely. And so let's go back to committees. If Republicans take back the House in 2022 and we're able to take back control in 2024, what Republicans need to do in charge is we should investigate these things. We should investigate them thoroughly.
I totally agree.
And then we should do not just investigate them. I'm really tired of committees and investigations. There should be accountability.
Yeah.
People should be fired. People should be held accountable.
Yeah, that's easier said than done, unfortunately.
Right, because that goes into
the
FBI and the Department of Justice.
I think the more realistic is that you need to transparently and quickly present it to the people.
100%.
And eventually consensus can be made to change those things.
Yes.
The other question is, their guy that planted the pipe bombs, which is an act of terrorism. Whoever that person is, I hope he goes to jail for a long time.
Absolutely.
And we just kind of forgot about it. He was using his cell phone on the park bench. Why are we not able to triangulate his location and his SIM card?
Right. So here we have people's they're subpoenaing the telecommunications companies for people's cell phone data. I'm on a list of 13 members of Congress that supposedly we're supposed to have our cell phone data subpoenaed. We'll see if that happens soon. But yeah,
there's a lawsuit around that, right?
Yeah, there is. But so it's interesting, though. Why are they not reaching out and trying to figure out whose cell phone that was? And
well, it should be pretty easy, right? So they arrested a lot of people mm-hmm. at the Capitol really early on, like the first couple weeks, mm-hmm. based on triangulation of SIM cards.
Yes.
And they were bragging to the country about how sophisticated the FBI was. Fine. Okay, whatever. But you can't find out whose SIM card that was who was sitting on the bench with the pipe bombs.
Yes.
And the thing about the pipe bombs that doesn't make any sense to me, and no one has really said this out loud, I think Tucker has, is that it's so disconnected with any of the other activity that happened the next day.
Completely.
Do you know what I mean? Like if the narrative that is truthful is that Trump spoke as he was speaking, the gates started to get penetrated.
Mm-hmm.
There may or may not have been some instigators. Evidence shows that there was.
Yes.
And people then made a mistake, went to the Capitol. Some assaulted police officers unacceptably and should go to jail for that. Some decided to destroy property, which just really disgusts me as an American. I don't like it.
Right,
but
I agree.
Like, none of that is we didn't find people with AR-15s.
No.
Firearms, pistols.
No.
So the pipe bomb thing is really strange. I got to be honest.
I agree. It is. And it was the RNC and the DNC. So it wasn't one party. It was both parties. There was pipe bombs at both parties. So there's a lot of questions to be asked there. The other thing you mentioned is no one was armed. And here we are. We support the Second Amendment and I own guns. And I guarantee
well, one guy was armed. And he was allowed to be. And he was a DEA agent.
Okay.
And he got – what's his name? Mikey was around here. You'd know his name. Ryan, you could ask Rob what his name, he would know what it is. He was on Tucker's deal, and he's like facing 15 to 20 years in prison.
Right, there's
he's the one who
more.
Says that his best friend told him to go into the Capitol, who ended up being an FBI informant.
Yeah, so there again. There again.
There's so much here that is, I think, important. If they want to make a national spectacle out of this.
Yes.
I want the truth. The truth will set us free.
I think the American people deserve the truth. And Charlie, I see it very simply, is the American people pay the taxes. We're supposed to be a government for the people, by mm-hmm. the people. The American people do deserve the truth. And the media, who has the freedom of press, and God, we need a freedom of press, but we need a press that actually uses it. They're obligated to tell the truth to the American people.
Yeah. And I mean, again, the left, they would never think this. But like, let's pretend for a second that there were instigators.
Right.
Then wouldn't the New York Times think for a second, huh, what's to prevent the FBI from having BLM instigators at a future one of their, you know,
You would
Wendy
think.
Burning ceremonies or whatever they do,
sure.
right? When they go burn down cities. Wouldn't that bother them?
You would think it would, but then again, they know the truth about
no, of
us.
Course. Yeah,
we aren't going to do that.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in a lot of different ways. And I do think, though, and I want to give Hillsdale College a shout out. I don't know if you saw this or not. The Imprimis in October and November, the front page of Imprimis, it was the January 6th committee hoax. It was like,
wow.
And for Hillsdale College to do that,
that's huge.
10 million readers. Big deal. I mean, I do have to say that the intellectual community has been pretty good on this. But I think that the more that we get into this, and then they're altering messages from Mark Meadows.
Of course. His email.
Yes.
They did that. Yes. That the January 6th committee.
With Jim Jordan or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
They put they cut off a sentence and put a period.
Where it didn't exist.
Where it didn't exist to change how it read. Then, of course, Liz Cheney reading his text message, and which I thought was beautiful.
It was exculpatory.
It was
great. Like, wait, everyone.
They read one of mine, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it was all
no
of us saying.
No one supported this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, please tell President Trump to stop. Tell the people to stop. Please tell everybody to go home. You know, a president should make a statement telling people that are reacting violently to mm-hmm. stop and go home. I don't think there's anything bad there. And if Republicans and.
Yeah, Mark Ibrahim was the DEA agent.
Okay. Mark, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah.
But no, it's all a farce, and I think it's just another page out of the playbook that seems to be repetitive because we saw it with Trump-Russia collusion, and they have to continue to tell the story the way they want it. The media, it's like, you know, rinse and repeat the same story and over, and it's up to the American people if they're going to buy this lie on January 6th or if they want to pursue the truth and see it happen.
Double-digit inflation, borders are wide open.
Yes.
Give weapons to the Taliban, $85 billion worth.
Yes.
We have 100,000 opioid deaths, most depressed, suicidal, and alcohol and drug-addicted generation in history. But
what do they have to hope for?
This is what the regime is focused on. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay. So here we have this option right now. I think this is where Republican voters need to make a serious decision. Going into 2022, and especially after seeing what's happened, seeing things like Mitch McConnell make a deal with Chuck Schumer where
again,
of course, where he raises the debt ceiling to $31.5 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing and I put it on my social media. I hope everybody saw it. Seeing where Republican senators just don't even bother voting or voting against.
So walk
Biden's
through that. Let's,
nominees.
Take a pause. I didn't understand this.
Let's talk about voting in Congress.
Yeah. So I think I understand a lot of things with this in this space. I didn't get this at all. So walk me through it.
OK, so here's what I found out when I got kicked off committees. I found out a lot, by the way, when I got kicked off committees. Congress doesn't vote with their voting cards. Most bills that are passed by voice with
mm-hmm.
only a
yes.
few.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
So most people don't know that.
So if you object,
though.
Then it has to go to.
No. So they'll bring a bill to the floor and that both sides debate the bill back and forth. And the speaker up there calls the vote, the yeas and nays. The Democrats, because they're going to vote for everything, they're over there saying yay. And the Republicans over here are like nay. And then. By listening with their ears, the person that's supposed to be Nancy Pelosi that hardly ever is and they wear a mask on their face, decides if the bill passes or doesn't pass. But yet we have 435 members of Congress and we all have a voting card that we're supposed to put in an electronic machine and record it. That doesn't happen. They just get to listen and then they get to say the bill passes and they gavel it in. And when I saw that happen for the first time, it happened the day after I got kicked off committees. And I was like, are you kidding me? This is how we spend our tax dollar. This is how they pass bills. And guess what? When they vote by voice, there's no record. Okay. No one knows how anyone votes. So it's like going to work every day.
But not every vote is that way, right?
Most of them. Until
the infrastructure bill wasn't that way.
No. Key votes are always
okay.
on record. Key votes. But I'm talking about spending millions and millions of dollars.
No, of course, I understand. No, I get it.
Here, I'll give you an example. So when I saw it happen, I started using floor procedure, and I started asking for the recorded votes. Well, everyone, their minds were blown. Like, how dare she do this? And Democrats were irritated because it threw off the schedule, but Republicans were really angry because they don't want to be on record because they vote for a lot of bad things. And so I got chewed out. You wouldn't believe it. That's a story for another time. Here's I'll give you an example. Cori Bush had a bill. Cori Bush, the BLM congresswoman.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
That brought the mob through the McCloskey's neighborhood. She had a bill that came to the floor to allow felons to vote. This was going to become a federal law. The bill passed by voice. Not kidding. The speaker up there said bill passed. I jumped up to the microphone and I said, Madam Speaker, I asked for the recorded votes. So by doing that, asking for the recorded votes, that makes all 435 members stop what they're doing, have to come to the chamber right then and vote by on record. And it has to be recorded how we all vote. We defeated that bill. Congress defeated that bill in a majority Democrat.
When control. Was this?
This was, I think it was back in March. Yeah. Nobody probably heard of it. Guess what? Republicans and the minority, we defeated a bill by a member of Congress that doesn't have committees. And it's simply because I use floor procedure.
So what happened with this? You tweeted something out where if like Republicans wouldn't have shown up or something, they couldn't have passed a bill. Am I remembering
back
this correctly?
Back to voting. So this is why it's important to explain voting. We can also choose to vote present, or we can just not vote. We don't have to vote. We're not required to vote. We should vote. It's our job performance. It seems to be our duty, but they can choose not to vote. I can choose not to vote. Senators can choose not to vote. We can even just not show up at work, believe it or not. And since COVID,
well, you could do remote voting.
We can proxy vote,
which is
insane.
Yeah.
So over in the Senate, this is where they confirm all of President Biden's nominees, judges, like all these people. And you know, a lot of your viewers and everyone has heard about these radical people with insane beliefs and comments, and they're being passed through the nomination process. Well, remember how when President Trump was there and Democrats just fought every nomination? Republican senators aren't doing that. They literally aren't. So the other day, this is what we found out. A whole bunch of the senators decided to go home for Christmas early, just didn't stay to vote no against these people. And now President Biden has in like a record number of judges. I mean, he's gotten, I don't know, if it's like well over 40.
Well, you got to explain this to me. So that's through the Judiciary Committee.
No, that's in the Senate.
No, so, the Senate Judiciary
Committee. Oh, yes. But they still have to vote.
Right. But in order to get them confirmed, they need more than 50 votes. Is that right?
Well, yes. So they have to have a majority. And there's 100 senators.
Yeah.
And we've got a
50-50. So, but are any Republicans voting for these judges is my question.
A lot of them aren't even voting. That's my point. They're going home.
But what would it matter if it's 50 on the other side, right?
Well, because they're just not even voting. That's the whole point. They're just leaving. They're not even there.
Well, that
to
doesn't
vote
surprise
no.
me, to be honest. Like, they're mostly a waste of rations. So it's like.
But they still should show up and
agree.
Do their job.
I agree.
That's how bad it is. So people going into 22, looking at elections, here's a problem, Charlie. And the GOP doesn't want to face it. We have a percentage in this country of Republican voters that are still so mad about the election, they're saying they're not going to vote. I've polled it twice, and there's about a 4-5% that will say on the poll, I'm not voting. People should be freaking out over that. Georgia, in my state, that scares me to death because we are close.
Yeah. So is Georgia going to go into a special session to fix some of this stuff?
Well, they've already passed a new election law, but they didn't get rid of the absentee ballots. And here we're going into a year. We have Stacey Abrams running for governor.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a mess on our hands.
I think Purdue's going to beat Kemp in the primary. That's probably right.
We'll see what happens. You wouldn't believe my state is interesting.
Yeah. I know Vernon Jones is also running, and I know all that. But not a Kemp fan, that's for sure. Herschel Walker, I am a fan of, though.
Yes.
I'm behind Herschel. He's
we
great.
Need to get him to beat Warnock.
He will. He'll beat Warnock.
But we need people to show up and vote.
That's, oh, totally. Yes.
Yeah,
we also need to restore people's faith in the system and in the process. So,
truly.
All right. So thank you for your time, and thank you for what you're doing. Anything you want to plug to our audience in closing?
Oh, I just would like to ask people to take the time to look up the phone number to the DC jail. Call them. Call the mayor's office, Mayor Muriel Bowser in Washington, D.C. I've sent a letter demanding that Deputy Warden Kathleen Landerkin be fired from her job. Her social media is filled with radical beliefs. Mm-hmm. She hates Trump. She hates people that support him. She hates white men. Even though she's a white lady, she thinks they should be extinct. She hates borders and border walls, but she puts people in solitary confinement. This woman is, they say, the cause of their abuse. Please call in and demand that she be fired. Pray for, we need due process. We need fair trials, and we need that to continue. But I think everyone needs to use their voice.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, You're supposed to hate her, but after you listen to her, she actually makes a lot of sense. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.